to finish this chapter today. And there are a few statements in the verses that we'll continue with here that I would like to clarify, and then we'll get to the heart of the study. Last time we were here, we looked at the beginning of verse 14 where it says, "Neglect not the gift." Neglect not the gift. We looked at the gift of the calling to preach. And we looked at the fact that the gift is the subject matter that we preach. It is a gift to have this calling to preach, and it is the gift that we preach. The gift of Christ, the gift of grace, the gift of mercy in the unspeakable gift of the cross. That is our message, the gift, the grace of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse 14 says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now let me clarify some of what that's saying. Verse 14 says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy." It is through the preaching or the prophesying of the gospel that the gift is revealed to men and women. Faith. Faith in Christ, who is the gift. Faith to believe on Christ. That comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. But another way to look at that statement is, it says in 1 Timothy 1:18, there's a reference, you don't have to turn, but there's a reference to 1 Timothy 1:18, and it says that it was prophesied of Timothy that he would receive the gift of this calling. It was predicted that Timothy would be a preacher of the gospel, and I believe quite often that's the case. When God calls a man, I believe God notifies everybody around that man. I really do. To the point that the man is usually the last one to know. Everybody else knows it. Everybody else is convinced of it before the man knows it and before the man is convinced of it. The man usually feels, if it's a true calling of God, I strongly believe that the man feels uncertainty. The man feels fear. He's, you know, I just don't know. I don't know. I'm unworthy. I'm insufficient. Well, that's right. And that's good. That's a good, that humility, that fear, that's a good thing. Verse 14 says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." The presbytery means the elders. That's all that it means. And the elders means those who have been called to handle the preaching of God's word. That's what an elder is. Someone who has been called to handle the preaching of God's word. Elders are not a special board of decision makers. I know that's what everybody thinks they are. They are not. They are not. Elders are those who have been called to handle the preaching of God's word. Now, whether they physically laid hands on Timothy or not, I don't know. I mean, you see it says, you know, laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Whether they physically laid hands, I don't know. The apostles and the early church, the early disciples, they were given miraculous gifts for the confirming of the word. That's the reason Paul could raise a man from the dead. And they could heal these diseases and all of these things. It was so that the word would be confirmed. This is not man's word. This is God's word. And it's confirmed, and those gifts are over. So I don't know if they physically laid hands on Timothy or not, but either way, that term is used. We still use that term today when we're talking about using someone, calling on someone for any kind of service in the ministry. When I was first called to this position of being a pastor, all of the pastors before me that I looked to for leadership and for advice, most all of them quoted 1 Timothy 5:22 to me. Look at 1 Timothy 5, verse 22. It says, lay hands suddenly on no man. That's what everybody told me. Here's what I'll tell you. When you get in that position of leadership and authority to some degree, lay hands suddenly on no man. They weren't telling me to wait a while before I started physically laying hands on people. That's not what they were saying. They were saying, don't call on anybody too quickly to do anything in the service of the ministry. No matter who it is, no matter if you've known the man for 20 minutes or 20 years, I've told all of these men who have come, who I have known for years and years and years, I've told all of them, I lay hands suddenly on no man. Just so you know, I'm not going to call on you to preach, not going to call on you to read, not going to call on you to pray, not going to call on you to sing. I lay hands suddenly on no man. There's a lot of wisdom in that, and I'm not going to go into what all that is right now, but I abide by that advice. It's a very slow, prayerful thing with me. So I lay hands suddenly on no man. But here's the thing. If a man has been laid hold of by God, once it becomes clear that the Lord is calling a man into his service, laying hands on a man, that man needs to dive in head first. Whatever God causes anyone's hand to do, that person, he or she, needs to do it with all of his might. Chapter 4, verse 15 says, meditate upon these things. Meditate upon these things. Paul talking to Timothy about this issue of preaching. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, that thy profiting may appear to all. It is clear whether a man is committed to the service that he is called to or not. It's clear. If a man doesn't study, it's clear. It just is. If a man is half in the ministry and half out of the ministry, it's clear. That ought to be a warning to me and everyone in this position. Verse 16, he said, take heed unto thyself. Commit yourself. Give yourself. If we're going to be half in the ministry and half out of the ministry, it'd be better for us if we were not in the ministry at all. Just don't be in the ministry. If we're going to half preach Christ, it would be better for ourselves and everybody around us if no one hears us at all. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Do we have the power to save anybody? Can I save myself or anybody else? No. No. We do not have that power. But the gospel that we preach does. The gospel that we preach does. This is the heart of what I wanted to look at this morning. I wanted to define some of that because I've always looked at those statements and wondered, what does that mean? Laying hands, presbytery, and saving yourself and saving people. This is the heart of what I want to look at. If God calls us to His ministry in any capacity, the ministry of His saving gospel, seeing we have received this ministry, If God calls us to His ministry in any capacity, we need to commit ourselves to that ministry. And we may need to make Jesus Christ and Him crucified the centerpiece of that ministry. If God calls us to preach, if God calls us to teach, if God calls us to serve in any capacity, some He calls to preach, some He calls to teach, some He calls to be a treasurer or be a who knows what. If He calls us to believe, all of His people are called to believe. That's a calling of God. If that is our calling from God, if He calls us to be a believer in His ministry, what has God called me to do? He's called me to be a believer in His ministry. Then may He give us to that calling. Truly give us to that calling. May the ministry of the preaching, hearing, and believing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ be all to us for the saving of our souls. Now, give me your ear for just a minute, okay? Did God elect a people? Yes or no? Yes. Did Christ die for every one of those people? Yes or no? Yes. I'm going to give you a clue here. The answer to every question is yes. Just in case anybody says no. Did Christ save every soul that He died for? Yes or no? Yes. Did God elect a people? Yes. Did Christ die for every one of them? Yes. Did Christ save every soul He died for? Yes. All right. Is their place eternally secure? Yes or no? Yes. Did He ordain a means of physically applying that salvation to His people? Yes or no? Yes. Yes, He did. Is that means the preaching, hearing, and believing of the gospel? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. If God is sovereign, just think about this with me, okay? Let me just add a question. Is God sovereign? Yes or no? Yes. I mean sovereign. If God is sovereign, why do we preach? Did God elect a people? Yes or no? Did Christ die for those people? Yes or no? Did He save them? Yes or no? Is their place secure? Yes or no? Then why do we preach? What are we doing here? We can't worship Him like we're going to. If He'll just call us all to glory, we'll start worshiping Him. We sit here in our flesh. I stand up here behind this pulpit in my flesh thinking, what in the world am I doing? Lord, get my mind on what I'm supposed to say. You know what I'm talking about. Why do we preach? Here's my next question. Why do we preach so much? Have you ever thought about that? Why don't we preach less and go out there and do more? I'm being serious. Why do we stress over it? Did God elect a people? Yes or no? Did Christ die for them? Did He save them? And is their place secure? Yes or no? Then why do we stress over it? Why is it so urgent? Why is it so urgent? Here's the reason why. It's because God said this is the means that He would use to quicken His people to Himself. God said, this is the means. Why, if Jesus Christ came to die, why did He preach? Why was He a preacher? If this is His means this is where my hope is. This is where my all is. God said He elected a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. Therefore, our hope is in His election. Our hope is in His election. Our hope is in the election that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is that God put me and you in Christ. God chose us and put us in Christ. That's where our hope is. I just hope God elected me. Okay? God said He redeemed His people in Christ on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, our hope is in His redemption. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God said He quickens His people by His Spirit through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know when He does that or how He does that, but somehow through this, you know, you look at me, you're going to see something foolish. The foolishness of preaching. And He doesn't do it through foolish preaching, but He does it through foolish men who He calls to preach His truth. But He said He quickens His people through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, our hope is in this gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's not my preaching that saves anybody. Why don't we have Gabe get up there and do it? Maybe they'll get saved. They won't. I promise you. If anybody looks, we're about to read a psalm in a minute that says, don't put your trust in princes, none of the sons of men. If anybody looks to me, it's not going to happen. Not that anybody would, but it's not my preaching that saves anybody. It is not your hearing or your bringing anybody to hear. If we hear it or bring people to hear, you know, we get all proud of ourselves. I told somebody to come and they came. That won't save anybody. But I will tell you this. If salvation is here, inside this man right here, I will preach Christ. It's not my preaching that saves anybody. I can't save myself through my own preaching, but if Christ has saved me, then I will preach Christ. You will hear Christ. I will want to preach Christ. You will want to hear Christ. All of us will believe on Christ. All of us will cast our all on the Lord Jesus Christ. If I do not have a desire to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified alone for all of our hope of salvation. Salvation is not here. I'm going to say that again. If I do not have a desire to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified alone for all of our salvation, if I don't have that desire, salvation is not here. You're not looking at a saved man. And if you do not have a desire to hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified alone for all of your hope of salvation, salvation and no other, nothing else, Him plus nobody, salvation is not there. What we're doing right now is we are worshiping God by His grace. We are worshiping God around the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the evidence of life. This is the evidence of life. If it's done in the heart of sincerity and truth, where there is no heart for this, there is no evidence of life. And I'm not just talking about attending church. I'm talking about worshiping Jesus Christ alone for who He is, for what He's done. Just going to church is not the evidence of life. I heard of someone yesterday who told another person, you know, I've got to get back in church. If you do, it will mean nothing. If you're circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. Loving Jesus Christ. Really. Loving Jesus Christ for the sovereign God that He is, not the weak, helpless martyr that He tried to be, for the sovereign, high, and holy God that He is. Loving Jesus Christ, needing Jesus Christ, desperately needing mercy in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you get down to, if I could need announce one need in this life, I'll tell you what it is. I need mercy in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. Hoping in Him. He is our hope. The fact that I am better now than I was 10 years ago is not my hope. And it's a good thing because I'm worse now than I was 10 years ago. Hoping in Him, trusting in Him, trusting His Word, looking to Him, longing for Him. That's the evidence of life. That is the evidence of salvation. Men all over this city this morning, I'm telling you all this because Paul, we've been in this for a little while. Paul is stressing this to Timothy. Men all over this city this morning are standing in pulpits preaching something other than the work and the glory of Jesus Christ crucified alone. Another way of salvation. You know, people say, well, I preach Jesus and I preach right out of the Bible and this and that. But the moment you add man to it, you got another salvation going. You're preaching another gospel. Man's way of salvation. Man's help in salvation. Man's decision. Turning it back on man. Now, what are you going to do with it? Okay? That's another way. Men all over this city are standing in pulpits right now preaching something other than the work, the finished work and the glory of Jesus Christ crucified. People all over this city are content to sit there and listen to a man preach something other than the work and the glory of Jesus Christ and Him crucified alone. And what that evidences is the man preaching is not saved. You realize how hard this is, sounding to man's ear, sounding to the flesh, how stark this is? I was writing this thinking, do I have any idea how much flack I'm going to get for this? How much kickback I'm going to get from this? I will. Why am I telling people this? Because it's the truth. Because this is the calling. You take heed to yourself, Timothy. And you take heed to the doctrine. Because if you don't, you're going to be damned and everybody who hears you is going to be damned. That's what he's saying. That man who stands up and preaches the works of man, the law for salvation, the deeds of the law, that man is not, he doesn't know God. He doesn't know himself. He doesn't know that he's dead. He doesn't know that he's wretched. He doesn't know that he's guilty. He doesn't know that he's totally depraved, thinking he can do something when he's nothing. And every soul, so sadly, that is content to sit there and listen to that man preach something other than Jesus Christ alone, the salvation that is only in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone, that's the evidence of a soul that does not know God. That's a soul that does not have life yet. That's a soul that has not been quickened to life yet. Lord, quicken us. Quicken us. I don't like this word, but I have to say it. Hell is coming quickly. I don't like that word. People are messing around with this thing. And Paul told Timothy right here, it's time we stop messing around. We got to stop messing around. Being flippant about true worship being flippant about the true gospel of Jesus Christ crucified. That's just not an option for God's people. Well, we can compromise it. I like going over there because they got better programs and their message is not Christ alone, but that's not an option for God's people. The fear of the Lord in them causes them to say, as for me and my house, we have to worship the Lord and not man. Our Lord alone. Paul told Timothy, preach this gospel. No other. No other. Now, I have a lot more pages of notes because I was about to give you seven exhortations, seven reasons for preaching the gospel. And it's just too late. So maybe next week, I'll give you, that sounds like a good outline, seven reasons for preaching the gospel. I don't know how to end right now, other than to say, may God be true, every man a liar. Let's worship Christ alone, okay? All right, you're dismissed.